Unto thee, O Lord.
Tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and I feel as silly telling you that as when I get the bank email a couple of days before. This is a reminder that the Thanksgiving is Thursday and the bank will be closed. I'm like, you don't think we all know that? Because we live for those days when the banks are closed. We get to stay home and do what we want to do. But it is Thanksgiving, and as usual, we like to offer an invitation for tonight. I wanted to gear this myself toward the people that I expected to be here, which I don't believe anybody in the room is in need of initially obeying the gospel, because we've all done that. And so the lesson is geared more toward those of us who are Christians, who have been converted, but still have things to work on. Both of the prayers that have been offered tonight for the class and for the opening of this service mention the idea of growing and coming to a better understanding. And that means that we probably don't know everything and we need to make good choices along the way from day to day. I want to center that around the idea, though, of Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. It is one of my favorite ones of the year. I love the fact that people actually, at least verbally, talk about the things they're thankful for, and that Thanksgiving is directed toward God. Now, it's not always stated, but in the American holiday, that is the given, that we are thanking God for the things that we have, that we're blessed with as a country, as a nation, as a successful people on the planet, for the blessings that we have, for the economy we enjoy, for the purposeful lives that we have, the ease and comfort that we enjoy. All of those things are wrapped up in being thankful to God for the United States and the place that we live and how we live. And I really appreciate that. I like thinking about that. All of us pray for those kinds of things all the time. I love the fact that as a nation, we decide to do that to make sure that everybody takes at least a moment to remember as a whole that our country is blessed by God and therefore should be in His service. We only tacitly talk about that anymore as a nation, but it should be, and it is still rooted in that, regardless of what some people are trying to do to it. Thanksgiving is something that is inherent in the Scriptures. The Apostle Paul told us in Philippians chapter 4 that anything that we ask of God should be done with thanksgiving, or it shouldn't be asked. Anything that we ask more of, we ask God's attention for, or on, is rooted in thanksgiving. And why is that? Because we need to make sure that we recognize when we're asking God for something, it's not because He doesn't pay any attention to us. It's not because He's never done anything for us before. We do it with thanksgiving for the myriad of things that He's done for us already, and that we're counting on Him, rely on Him, that we put our trust and faith in Him. And we've done that for everything in our lives, certainly for our salvation. I want to rehearse just a couple of ideas that we've studied now several weeks back in Romans, and then make a final conclusion in 2 Corinthians. But bear with me, if you will. Go to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. I'm going to read just a couple of verses there and remind us of something that we studied very thoroughly. Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 21. We'll read 21 through 25. Now, I realize that I'm in the middle of a thought, but we've studied this fairly recently, and so hopefully we have that thought in mind. And I want to focus in on this part of being thankful. Paul says, "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And then he says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." That's the answer to his question. Who will deliver me? I thank God, it's Jesus Christ my Lord. That's who will deliver me. And I'm thankful to God for that. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. You remember what he was saying here? That for him, looking back on the life that he led under the law of Moses, that he still struggled from time to time, looking back in his life, and making sure that he recognized his salvation is in Jesus Christ. And that was all his mind ever was on. We mentioned tonight that Paul's conscience was clear even when he was persecuting the church, because he did that solely in his mind and from his heart to serve God, to keep blasphemy down, to get rid of error that was running so rampant and contrary to the law of Moses. But even after he became a Christian, all of that teaching, all that learning, that ingrained habit that he had to keep the law of Moses in so many ways, apparently kept popping up in mind from time to time, that he would call back to the things that he does, the things that he would accomplish, and look back on his good works that would be to his credit spiritually. And he says, "I know that's not right, but I find myself warring against that in my heart. I want to do good, I want to be righteous according to the law of the faith of Christ Jesus, and then I find myself leaning on the good things that I've done, the things that I'm going to do by intentions, that kind of thing." Brethren, I would say that let's not dismiss that as old poor Paul. Even he was still struggling with those things. We do that too. And we're not calling back on the law of Moses to it, but we compare ourselves too often, right? Well, I'm not as bad as that person. Oh, I'm better than that guy at work, or better than that lady that was driving down the road and the way she's acting, you know. That's no standard of righteousness. That just makes us feel superior to those round about us. It's the same kind of thing, though. I'm righteous because of some good work that I can call on or think I've done, or some comparison to others who have failed more than me, and then I justify myself. We fall into the same thing, where this sense of accomplishment on our part wars with the faith in Jesus Christ that nothing that we've done saved us. We condemned ourselves. We have believed in Jesus Christ who did work that would save us and transform us into a child of God. And Paul says, I'm thankful for that because I have this conflict all the time and I know who I need to rely on, who I look to for my salvation. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God that he has given him for that purpose. So I find in myself to serve the law of God with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And he wasn't saying I'm choosing to do both of those things. He says if I choose to go after the flesh, I'm serving sin. I'm trying to be justified by something that's simply pointing out my sin. And so it is the law of God through Christ Jesus that saves. Romans chapter 6. Now, why am I doing this backwards? Well, because he revisited a thought and fleshed it out further in Romans chapter 7. He did say something more specific and a little condensed in Romans chapter 6. I want to deal with that next briefly. Chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. He says, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. That's what Paul desired for us because that's the gospel that he taught. That we could become the servants of righteousness. That we still serve, but we no longer serve a law that can just condemn us. And to seek back to that is seeking back to something that is less than the gospel and the promise of Jesus Christ. Whoever you yield yourself to, that's who you're a servant of. And if we certainly serve sin, we are condemned under sin, and sin rules our life. And we call sin our master. But that sin could also be a false sense of righteousness, where we're looking to some law, we're looking to accomplishment, we're looking to our own standard of perfection. And our standard is usually just going to be at least we're better than those round about us. And we know how that fared for the Pharisee who was praying to himself, but compared to the sinner's prayer, God forgive me, a sinner. God be merciful to me, a sinner. That didn't fare well for someone who just claimed all the things he wasn't and was not actively serving the law of righteousness in Christ Jesus. But God be thanked that when we were the servants of sin, now we have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered to us. Brethren, that's you and me. That's not a call to be obedient. That is thanking God for the fact that we have found that. And we need to make sure that we continue to serve in righteousness. That we are servants according to the form of doctrine which was delivered us, the gospel of Jesus Christ that freed us from the law of sin and death, and certainly freed us from the bondage of just living in sin, mindlessly going through life with no understanding. That actually brings me to the last passage, and really is very highly applicable to us today, even though he wrote it to the Corinthians now a couple thousand years ago. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And this will be the final thought. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. And he starts off with his thanks. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. And by the way, I'll stop there for just a moment and say that savor is related as much to fragrance in this sense as it is taste. And I was thinking about that with COVID that we've just been through, and so many people would lose their sense of smell and their sense of taste went with it. Well, everybody's pretty clear that when you have a stuffed up nose, even things don't taste very good. And when you completely lose your sense of smell like COVID often did, you have no sense of taste either. And so you can see that really the old word is here, and it doesn't mean flavor just flavor, but also a fragrance that you can smell that around. and it has an effect on everything around it. So with that in mind, let me reread that sentence. Now, verse 14, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. I'll leave that last sentence for just a second. So thanks be to God that this is where Paul thinks very fundamentally about his life. My thanks with God is rooted in that Jesus Christ causes me to triumph in this life. None of my personal accomplishments, as he said in these other couple of passages. It is in Jesus Christ that we triumph and are able to be, even to other men, let alone God, but even to other men, what Christ would have us to be, so that we could be a draw for them to come to God just like we have. And the knowledge of this is in every place. You know, it's clear when people are strictly following the Scriptures, when we look to the Scriptures and really try to live it out in our lives, people recognize where that comes from a lot of times. They don't recognize the authority of it, but they recognize what we're doing and why we're doing it to a degree. And it's a draw for them. And in verse 15 says, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. We smell and taste like Christ to God, and are that in those people who are saved and in them that perish. We're that for our brethren, for Christians, those of like-mindedness with us about our Christianity and have done the things that we've done to be in harmony with Christ and have received the gospel. But we're also that to the world, those who are out perishing. That same effect, it's for another purpose, but it's that same effect. And we do the same thing, but it has a different effect or a related effect on those who perish. He says, to the one, we are the savor, the smell, the fragrance, the sense of death unto death. I think that's to our brethren. In fact, to our brethren, we smell like we've put death away from us. It smells like we have separated ourselves from death. Death unto death. Right, that we are no longer are susceptible to death, that we have found true life, and the death of death is in Jesus Christ. The putting it away. If somebody doesn't want to deal with death anymore, they go to Jesus Christ and they'll never have to deal with death again in their personal life. To the other, it's the savor of life unto life. For those that are perishing, it's the visual expression and example of the hope that Jesus Christ has to give life to those that are perishing and are dead. It is the hope of life. Not only life after life, but life to life. Bringing a human life to a spiritual life that doesn't have to ever perish. You see, we're a walking gospel message. By our very character, who we are, just by what God has made us, we show by example, that he can save those who are perishing. And to God, it is a constant reminder that he has been successful and that we are his success story, that he's made that possible and made it happen. And to those that are lost, that is the perfect example to draw them to want the same thing and see that it is possible to gain life. Paul wrote the invitation for me. And that's the last sentence of that passage, 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 16. Who is sufficient for these things? Who's up to that challenge? Who's up to being that example? I think that's a great message for a group like this tonight. I know you don't need to be baptized, or maybe you think you do, and of course if you do, we'd like to help you with that. But most of the people in the room, I believe and understand, have done so already and are now working at living their life in a Christian way. Who's sufficient? Who's up to the challenge of being this example of the gospel every day? If we're not, then that's something that needs to be repented of and needs to be worked on. That's something that needs to be added to the activities in our life. Not to earn our salvation, but to be the best example, the best teaching tool that God can show the word that he's given us is real, is purposeful, and has the effect that he intends for it to have, to save men from death, to release us from the bondage of sin, and give us hope of eternal life. And thank God that is all possible in Jesus Christ. If you're subject to the invitation of Paul, who received that from Jesus, and I repeat to you tonight, please come forward as we stand and sing.
Walking alone at eve and viewing the skies afar, bidding the darkness come to welcome me silver star. I have a great delight in the wonderful scenes above. God in his heart and mind is showing his truth and love. Oh, for a home with God, a place in his course to rest, sure and a safe abode with Jesus and
Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, grateful and mindful of all the blessings we have. Thank you for your mercies and care that you give us. Help us to always remember the things you do and have done for us. We are very blessed to live where we do and to be able to meet together without persecution. Help us be more aware of others who don't have as much as we do, and let us see opportunities to help them. Please be with Michael Massey and help him to get better as soon as possible. Please be with Miss Cindy and help her to take care of him. Increase our faith so we don't fear anything from this world except sin and separation from you. Give us strength to do your work and to stay faithful forever so that we can have hope of a home in heaven with you one day. Help us to keep you first in our minds and hearts. Please let us meet here at the next point in time if it be your will. Thank you for the perfect sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, so that we can be forgiven of our sins. In his name we pray. Amen.